WBRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy, ahoy, welcome back to me, because I wasn't here last week, but I'm here this week, which is why I'm speaking to you. It's episode 429. I'm Dan, this is BRB UK. Hello. Hi. There was a sexy word I needed to say to people. I'll look at that in a minute, but in the meantime, I will introduce Young Coleman. Say hello,
hi.
Young Coleman.
Oh, hi, went too early, sorry.
That's all right. It happens to the best of us. Don't worry about it.
And, comes of age.
And a man who's never too early. He's always too late. Tim Hibbs, hello.
Hello.
How W?
Yeah, all right. All right, sir. How's your fine self?
I'm doing all right, I think.
Yeah? Yeah?
Doing all right. Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Doing all right.
Let's go with that.
6.5 out of 10.
It's not bad.
It's all right.
That's like a 9 out of 10 on IGN.
Unfortunately, I can't do the Famitsu route and have 4 independent people assess how good or not I am. It's just too time consuming. No one's got time for that. No one has got time for that. No one.
And really, your state of well-being is drawing away focus from more important political issues in the world, if we're going the Kotaku route.
Well, this is deeply true. Yes.
Yes.
That is an entirely valid point, and one that is entirely correct. Sorry, I was going a bit bojo there.
Good.
I can't remember. What was the name of that thing?
Let's half Bojo, half Mr. Blobby. No,
let's get back
actually,
on track.
So is Bojo, actually,
yes.
To be honest with you.
It's quite accurate.
Oh, God. How have you chaps been? Good show last week, I thought. Nice and short, Timothy. Congratulations.
See, it's not always my bad influence.
It mostly is, though.
Well, mostly.
Yeah. I mean, mostly. We did take advantage of you being gone and then covered one of your games that you'd been waiting 3 weeks to talk about, but
thanks for that.
Yeah, it went all right. I thought it went okay. Quick assessment of Monster Hunter Rise. It's a good assessment.
Yeah, seemed a lot of the most impression from last week, yeah. But
I wanted to love it more than I did.
That's kind of the impression I have at the moment. Look, we'll get onto the Nintendo Direct later, but when they showed off the trailer for Monster Hunter Rise compared to playing the game itself, I went, they are not running that on a Switch because it does not run that smoothly. It runs well, but it does not run that smoothly.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing for me that really killed it is there's a... I mean, I can understand. Admittedly, I'd only played it in handheld mode rather than docked. Okay, so that's fair enough. But I did think there was some pretty immersion-breaking pop-in, which is to be expected. They've set themselves a massive challenge with a fully streaming open world rather than the relatively small areas that get loaded in separately like they did on like 3DS Monster Hunter and back in the day on Monster Hunter. But yeah, I don't know. Perhaps I had too high hopes. Perhaps I was expecting too much. Perhaps that's my problem. I was just expecting too much.
I mean, I played it in docked, but only because I had to get the capture for the site video. But it seemed to perform all right in docked compared to in handheld. But again, it didn't look as nice as it does on the trailer. And I understand like vertical slices and things, but that's not a vertical slice. That's meant to be your full game coming to launch in a month.
I mean, who do they think they are? Do they think they're Ubisoft? They're watchdogs? Surely only they can do those shenanigans. I
was going to go more the Hello Games No Man's Sky route, but yeah.
Ow! Alright, yeah. Fair enough.
One day, that initial launch trailer for No Man's Sky, they will make that game and it will be amazing. But
They're getting there.
But it's not there yet.
They are getting there. Unfortunately, I think it's probably called Elite Dangerous Odyssey these days, but... You know, what are you going to do?
Chaps, I have news.
Oh,
yes,
news.
Give me news.
I got one of the desired two PlayStation 5s that I've been trying to get hold of.
Yeah, ooh.
PlayStation
fancy
5.
Fancy new PS5 owner in the
Aren't
house.
You fancy coal, man?
Didn't I do well? That's not for me, though. That is for my girlfriend. That was her birthday present. She was very, very happy with it. Came a couple of days after her birthday, but managed to get a hold of one.
And the PS5?
Aha.
Why have you always got to go there?
Because it's Dan. It's been 429 episodes. How do you not know this? I managed to grab one off of Shop 2 Friday, I think, after the show. And really going to big up Shop 2 because I've used them in the past because they do PlayStation credit for 10% off. So I tend to use them to top up my wallet on PlayStation Store. And when they put out the PlayStation 5 release, that they do have, and the other thing as well, every time they put up the consoles, they seem to get DDoS attacked. So to stop people buying
them. Isn't
that
just everyone trying?
Well, according to them, they were saying they were being actually attacked. So I don't know. But the thing that I wanted to kind of give them props for is that they made sure that they sold one per customer, one per household. If you failed that, they would not process your orders, plus charge you a £50 cancellation fee.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. Ooh. They stepped up their security for bot protection. And also, they were taking reports from any eBay listings or anything from Shop 2 and then going out and cancelling those orders.
Wow. Nice.
Actively
okay.
looking for them and cancelling them. So fair play to them. And considering, like, this week we've had Argos that keep putting their ones out at 2 in the morning and they keep getting bought ridiculously quickly as well. Very, I think they had a launch yesterday and that sold out in under 2 seconds, or it was 2.5 or something seconds.
Jesus.
I don't think they have a bot problem. Like John Lewis, they...
No, they just have people with exceptionally ridiculous reflexes, clearly.
Yeah, John Lewis put theirs out at 5 in the morning without warning as well, and they just sold out instantly, even though no one knew they were coming, so...
But they're never knowingly undersold, so something like that. I know, there's a joke in there somewhere. I can't be bothered to find it.
Well, I mean, John, I kind of get John Lewis because they're on they're having not great financials at the moment. So if they're to sell out all their consoles in under 10 seconds, then who are they to care? They're making money that they desperately need at this point. So I kind of get it on their side, but still, they've really got to step up their game on some of these things.
But did you see there was someone proposing some legislation against scalpers, and particularly against scalping for consoles, new consoles at the moment, then also for purchasing bots and stuff, making them that sort of software illegal, basically, kind of thing.
I've said it before, it's the same thing they've done with scalping tickets. Like in real life, you can't scalp tickets outside an arena because you could get arrested for it. Doesn't stop them doing it. Every single concert I've ever been to, there's always like 4 or 5 people just
you want tickets?
Blatantly doing it. Like they're not tickets. Quiet about it either. But as well, they've extended that to online. eBay themselves, they made it so you can't scalp tickets online. And then, over the years, over the last 2 years, that's kind of stretched out to other parts of the internet. So why not the same with products that come out day and day that sells out and is instantly on eBay at double the price? It doesn't seem very consumer friendly at all.
And especially when the Bellends put up a photo, their seller photo is literally a wall of PS5 boxes going, "Oh, do you want one?" Idiots.
James Daphne Sterling, as they've called themselves, they have put up a video recently about the scalpers and particularly the ones that are crying about being out of pocket now because they've got these consoles that they have no intention of keeping and just selling, and they aren't selling them for double price because, hey, no one wants to do that anymore.
I've looked. I cannot find a crap to give. I'm sorry. I can't. I've just been. Sorry, scalpers.
Yeah, there's been some good tales of people wasting scalpers' time that have got a console and then telling them to go meet them in random places and not turning up and, dragging it out for quite some time in some cases. But yeah.
It's funny at the moment because now the same kind of groups and threat. I've got like if you use TweetDeck, you can set up all these customized searches and stuff and have them all running at once. That's how I've been looking out for PlayStation 5s and Netsfied and stuff. And a lot of those groups now, because people from those groups are now starting to get PlayStation 5s, and they put up their photo and they'll be like, "Thank you to Stock Checker UK or whoever that they've been going through to find. I managed to secure one from Argo." Now it's gone from, "Oh, well done. Oh, I hope I get mine too," to "F you. I die in a fire. I hate you because I didn't get one." And at the same time, Oh, and the other part is the scalper desperation. Now it's not just people going in, oh, DM me, I've got one. I'll sell you for 800 quid now. It's cases of when the very launch happened yesterday, people were going, oh, I've got one in my basket, but I don't want. So if you give me an extra £100 on top, then I will purchase this for you right now and send it to you when it goes through. Like, how crazy can you be? Don't do any of that.
But I mean, glad to hear that kind of Shop 2 have kind of upped the game since. I mean, I think they've had, and I think this is fair to say, a little bit of not great history in the past. I know people, certainly in the wider internet, are a little bit wary of dealing with Shop 2 for some reason. But, and, you know, their Trustpilot scores are not great. You know, I think people have had problems, but it sounds like they've really got their stuff together. So good credit, all credit to them. And, you know, obviously take everything, all the information you can find about a trader online into account. But, you know, I'm glad to see that they're seem to be turning a bit of a corner. That's good. Yeah.
I mean, any of these kind of sites that started out as key resellers, they all have really bad reviews anyway, so that's probably where that's come from. But yeah, I was really happy with that. Now I just got to get my one.
Yep.
I want them that I can play PlayStation.
Are you banned from touching the other one?
She's graciously let me play a little bit of Astro Bot.
Oh, isn't that nice of her?
I was going to say, that's something you want to play anyway.
It's it's the Last of Us console of them. It makes Last of Us load faster. So there we go.
Fair enough. But I still think we've got hardware shortages for a while. I mean, Intel they're about to release their new desktop processors, and I think it's going to be exactly the same. You're not going to be able to find them for love the money. In fact, I didn't quite realize how lucky I was to get my hands on an RTX 3080. People are still trying to do that. So yeah, I mean, it's madness at the moment. Absolute madness.
I'll tell you what's harder than getting hold of a PlayStation 5 as well.
Getting hold of a PlayStation 6.
Well, no, getting hold of one of these Nintendo Switches that are Super Mario themed, and they're red switches all over, and I've been trying to get hold of one and I cannot.
So, well, that's probably a good thing in many ways.
But it's a red switch, Dan.
I know.
It's the only switch that isn't just got a sticker on it. It's like actually a red switch. I want it.
Surely
do not flick the red switch, Coleman.
Yeah.
Do not flick the red switch.
Well, anyway, I mean, at least you've got something to distract you from not being able to get a PS5. At least you can now distract yourself by not getting a red switch.
I can play the spare controller.
I have a question.
Yep.
Yes.
Haptic triggers.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all right.
They're good.
Yeah. All right.
Did you walk over the dome thing in the foyer of the...
Yeah, I've done it all now.
Yeah, done all that.
Oh, John, that's just old news, mate. Yeah, I've walked over plenty of dames. Thank you very much.
You haven't done it till you've done it on a PS5, Dan.
Well, the one kind of thing that people have been throwing out about haptic triggers is going, the tension when you pull a bow, for say. Like, that's the only example I hear in professional games journalism before the console released and people were putting out previews. Imagine pulling a bow and then the triggers get tighter. But when you actually do pull a bow in the game, it does actually feel really cool. So there we go.
Yeah, awesome.
There's something to be said.
Fair enough. Well, good. Good for you, Coleman. But there's been other stuff that's happening this week that people have played with or not played with or had a little look at in greater depth. I mean, I'm going to be very quick because, for a start, you talked about one of my games last week anyway. I was just going to touch base on two games which I've just kind of picked up and haven't had enough time to sink into next, so I'll touch base on next week. No Man's Sky, we talked about it earlier. It's had another massive update. Yay!
It keeps on having massive updates.
You can now adopt creatures that you find on planets, and they will follow you about, and you can even summon them in public playing spaces, and they will go and try and talk to other people. It's amazing. You can befriend a T-Rex, put a saddle on it, and then customize it so it's got lasers on its hips.
Why are we podcasting right now?
I have utterly no idea. But wow. I just tried it. I've adopted my first animal.
Nice.
I hope it's not going to go too Tamagotchi. His first thing was that he was feeling pensive.
Pensive?
Have some food.
What do you know about pensive?
I don't know. Hello Games. I don't know. Got fancy words, mate, is what they've got. So yeah, I think that's going to be quite good fun. I will report back next week. But the other game that I've picked up, and again, I'm like the most useless games reviewer person this week. but will report back about next week, is Valheim.
Yeah, I've been hearing lots about this. A lot of people have picked this up.
So it came out in early access about this time last week, I think. It's essentially a Viking Minecraft. So it's a open world survival thing where you've got to craft everything that you need, but it kind of takes place in a kind of a Viking universe, and you've got to go be a Viking. You've got to defend against those gods who don't like you. You've got to fend off wee beasties in the dark of night. There are dragons. You can make a boat, and there's all lots kinds of fun stuff. I know, Coleman. It's lots of multiplayer, and apparently it's quite good fun. So I'm looking forward to giving that a bit of a go. I think it's £15 on early access at the moment, which is what I got it for. But obviously the price will go up. It's been insanely popular. I think they've had only over 2 million downloads, and it's being very well received. So I look forward to getting stuck in and jumping on that particular
bandwagon.
Go be
a Viking.
It has a very kind of early 2000s look to it, PC look to it, which appeals to me.
Which I quite like, actually. It's kind of, it reminds me of, like, if you've ever run a backup of a game that you own through a PlayStation 2 emulator on a PC or something like that, and where everything's upscaled. It looks very much like that.
For strictly console players, it's got a very Fable look to it.
Actually, that is a very, very fair comparison. So, so I shall report back next week.
Okay. £15.49, add to cart. So it's £15.49, add to cart. Yes.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. We will talk about this next week.
I'm fairly sure I've already talked about Tetris, haven't I? Have I ever talked about Tetris?
You have mentioned it a couple of times.
I think you very quickly talked about it.
It's great.
That's Tetris Connected.
It's better in VR.
Yeah, quickest review in the world. If you've got Game Pass, you may as well get it. It's a bit. I would genuinely, and I sound like a killjoy here. You know the fairly standard epilepsy warnings for this game. You might want to think about it if you have
beef
had
it up
any issues.
A bit. Basically,
there's a lot going on. Sometimes to the detriment of actually being able to tell what's going on in your Tetris. Well. In front of you, but you know, it's Tetris, it's fun. There's lots of leaderboards, and you can see how good or not you are. And it's fun. Soundtrack's good. It clearly obviously wants to be Lumines, but it's Tetris. It's like those two went on holiday, had an ill-advised romance, have come back and aren't speaking to each other, but still desperately want to be.
Isn't
each other
the
too.
Guy behind Luminous involved in this in some form?
Yes,
I think
yes
he is, which is probably where it comes from. So there we go.
The designer made the same thing. In fact, he made Lumines when he didn't get the license to Tetris originally, and then after making Lumines and that being successful, he did get the Tetris license, and Tetris Effect is the result, basically. But also, I don't know if you saw this week, the person, there was someone was the first person since Tetris Effect came out to get an Impossible Tritz, or whatever it is. But basically, it was, the whole entire screen in the zone mode type thing that you can do.
Telling me they did all of the things?
It was a Tetris that was the entire screen, basically.
That doesn't sound so hard. Bear with me.
You might be sometime, Colfin.
Imagine if you were suffering from epilepsy and you're like, well, I can't play many flashy games, but Tetris, that's always
that's
been my
a safe
friend.
Bet.
Oh,
no.
And it's in VR.
No.
Ah!
No. That way lies vomity bad times.
It's not safe, but it is great.
Yes, indeed. Well, I mean, Tetris is great.
Yeah.
Who doesn't like Tetris?
But I think it's a really good version and slightly interesting version of Tetris. As you say, it borders on being slightly distracting at times, but I think it does add to it in a really nice way. And yeah, there's some really good levels that really good musical tracks that go with them and stuff. It's a nice integration. I like it. I think it requires a lot of concentration a lot of the time, though.
It does. Hey. And actually, it made my graphics card go a bit bonkers. For some reason, it asks a lot of a graphics card, and it was like instantly the temperature in my room went up by about 10 degrees because of just all the heat being pumped out the back of my graphics card.
Yeah, there's a lot of effects going on at some times.
Yeah, they might have a bit of work to do with optimization on that, but yeah.
Good.
What are you going to do? So, Coleman, Tim, yes. I see there is nothing next to your name.
Well, this week I have mostly been playing Demon Souls. So, hey. Yeah, we talked about that a lot last week.
We covered that last week. Still
I have got
it.
Through a few more bosses. I'll come back to it when I've made a slightly more significant progress. But, yeah, I've got way deeper into the game. That first level that I said, I've repeatedly said on the show, is one of my favourite levels of all time. I've got even further into the level and explored bits of it that I've never even seen before. Mm. And yeah, like it's a really great game. It's a really great version of it. And I'm really enjoying it.
I honestly didn't have you pegged as a Demon's Souls fanboy.
I did, because he's talked about it on the show for years.
Yeah, the first one is the one that I played. I didn't really play as much of Dark Souls and stuff like that and kind of fell away from it after that. But Demon's Souls is the one I played lots of.
Yeah, whenever we've spoken about Demon's Souls, Sekiro, anything, Tim always goes, I prefer Demon's Souls over these newfangled Souls-likes. I think you'll find I am the original hipster of the Soulsborne games.
Well, it's just such a disconnect with your usual approach to things, Tim, I think. That's what gets me. It's kind of your general tolerance of arcane mechanics in games is pretty low, I would say. And you get frustrated with platformers.
Ooh,
so
slap down.
It's one of those things where there's a sense of progress even when you're kind of defeated and out, and there's an even greater sense of progress when you push through something that was seemed like an insurmountable obstacle when
more
you first
fiber
encountered
in your diet
it.
Is what you need from that.
Well, yeah, possibly. It's just I really enjoy the balance of the game, and it's one of those things where you can tell. I don't know, you can tell and appreciate just how well designed it is, and as a gamer I think it's a game that you can appreciate really well.
Would you suggest picking this up to someone who may have access to a recently bought PlayStation 5?
Recently bought PlayStation 5. Yeah, I really would. If you like any of the Soul series and you didn't play this before, this might be a bit different, but I prefer it to what I've played of Dark Souls and Bloodborne, but
I may wait for a price
Bloodborne
drop.
After
I'm
this,
still
though,
holding
but...
out on a Bloodborne update.
Fair enough. Fair
Stick
enough.
That thing in for 60, and I'm all I'm all that games.
Right. Wow. Great. No sugar. Great. Coleman, since you are all about the games, I really want to hear about the double biller you've got in your first one here. It's not one Mario game, it's two Mario games, and they're both on the Switch at the same time. How does that work?
With a plus sign and everything.
Help me.
It's not that difficult, Dan. It's two games in one.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, that's
you've had a Mega Drive, I'm sure. You know how this works.
Yeah. All right, so there's two games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In one cartridge.
They fit it all in one cartridge. Mm.
But wow. I bought
or
this
download.
Digitally, so this analogy does
is it,
not work.
I have a question. Is it twice as heavy?
I don't know, because I got it digitally.
Yeah.
Oh, it's no, not blown. This again. I've already turned that into a GIF. Don't do it again.
What the?
Yeah. I'll send it to you later. No, so this is a two-part game. It's Super Mario 3D World, which was originally launched on the Wii U, which is one of my favorite.
Never heard of it.
Well, yeah, it's one of my favorite Mario titles, but unfortunately it came out on the Wii U and it wasn't like a mainstream. When you look at Mario 64, Sunshine, Odyssey, and then I accidentally dropped my notepad on my bell, Odyssey, and then this comes out in between, it looks weird because this is basically based off a 3DS game that they then expanded to make a HD Mario game that was available for multiplayer and all this kind of stuff. But I really, really like this game. So I'm replaying this with my girlfriend, and she's only into the 2D Mario, so this has been kind of a learning experience for her. And the whole time I'm just like, God, look at it. He's a cat now. This is great. I love this. Anyway, yeah, Super Mario 3D World.
I have a question.
Yes.
Does he lick his butt? And when he does it, does it make the pipe noise? He goes...
And he jumps when he sees cucumbers.
Does he?
Yeah,
I'd do that, to be fair.
Improvements on the game from the Wii U version. Well, changes from the game. They've increased the character's movement speeds and climbing heights. They've changed from 720p resolution and bumped it up to a 1080p.
That's more P's. It's got to be good.
More P's.
Everyone loves P's. They've added online multiplayer because originally it was just local multiplayer. There's sections of the game called Captain Toad's... the thing that then spun off into being Captain Toad's treasure tracker. And initially, if you were playing multiplayer and you found Captain Toad to play his level, only one person would play as Captain Toad and the rest would just have to watch. Now it makes lots of little toads to play the same game. So that's cool. There's a photo mode that's been added, which means the stamps that you collect in the game, initially you'd be collecting those to use in the Wii U's Miiverse, which doesn't exist anymore. So now those stamps can be used in the photo mode. And photo mode seemed to be kicking off over the last generation to this one. So there you go, if that's your thing. And they've removed all the Wii U mic features because who wants to blow into a controller?
I mean, it's a good point.
Yeah. Other than that, I really enjoy the game. You can play up to four players. This is the kind of the philosophy they had for making this game was, hey, you know, when we keep pitching all these ideas in rooms about Mario and what we should do with the next game and the next levels and stuff, how about we just use everything? Instead of throwing stuff, we just use it all in one game, and that this is what they came up with. And it's really good. I'm so glad it has the Switch upgrade. Like the initial point they announced the Switch and we started getting these ports of Wii U games, I was really hoping this would be one of them. And it took a while, but we got one. But we got one with an extra game included, which is Bowser's Fury. And I know we're only in February, but is it too early to call a game of the year?
Yeah.
Well, all of the ones we were looking for are pretty buggered already. So I go for it, mate, in all fairness. At least you've got a horse in the race that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you know what? It's on my running because... So Bowser's Fury is a weird one because it's a Mario game that... It uses the 3D world's mechanics and graphics. It takes the story of Mario Sunshine and it presents it in a Mario Odyssey style. And then and they've made basically what is DLC for this game, but in itself, its own game. So it's a 1-to-2 player mode.
I'm confused.
Yeah, I know.
See, well, this is why I was asking about the two cartridges in one cartridge thing, Tim. It's mind-blowing.
Mind-blowing. Don't look up Super Mario All-Stars on the SNES. You'll just die of excitement.
I mean, I was actually, as a result, in a coma because my brain couldn't deal with it from the age of 14 to 19 years old.
That's it.
True story.
Oh, mate. Have a look on Switch Online.
Five games, one cartridge, Dan.
Don't even get me started on those Chinese knockoff 392 games in one. That would.
How do they fit, Dan? How do they fit?
I don't know, Tim. Madness.
Basically, Bowser's Fury is an expansion to 3D World, but it takes elements from other Mario games. It takes improvements from future Mario games and brings them into this one. This is a 1-to-2 player. You have a hat, but it's not Cappy. You have a 1-to-2 player mode. One player plays as Mario, one player plays as Bowser Jr., or Bowser Jr. as an AI companion. Mario gets brought into this world called Lake Lapcat, where everything is cat themed. All the Goombas and the Koopas and everything have little cat ears and they're furry. And some people will probably get very excited by that.
Yeah, I heard the internet likes cats.
I hear that some very special off in the corner part of the internet like cats as well.
Yes,
in a very different way. But anyway. Like trees are cats, clouds are cats.
I think the press
trees are cats.
Yeah, everything are cats.
What? Trees are cats.
So not only are there two games in one cartridge, trees are cats.
But trees are cats.
How can a tree be a cat?
Because it's got little cat ears.
It doesn't make it a cat, though, does it?
And it's furry. You'll think you're running through grass. It's not. It's fur. You know, everything's got this cat motif to it.
Is it one of these kind of fractal mad things? No matter how much you zoom into something, it's got a smaller version of itself with little cat ears on it. Like Blades of Grass. Is that LA each individually a cat? On a bigger cat, But because they're so tiny, it seems like they're bits of fur, but they're actually an individual cat.
Things don't just turn into cats because you put cat ears on them, Coleman.
Exactly. It's mad,
that's
isn't
not
it?
How physics works.
When you look at the DualSense controller and it looks like it's got little dots on it, if you got a very strong camera and zoomed in, you actually see that's triangles, squares, circles, and X's. It's
yes.
like that, but cats. Anyway, there's a cat theme to the level, I was trying to say, basically.
Right.
And the way they've done it is it's kind of... It's like a hub world, but all the levels, rather than going, okay, I'm going to jump into this painting or I'm going to go into this warp pipe and that's going to open up to the next level. It's an entire large level that is, all the levels are integrated within it. So you literally walk to an area, it goes, and now you're doing the level while you're doing it. And it's kind of, it's very next generation, well, current generation now. It's very kind of super sexy drive gameplay thrown in there, everything boots up instantaneously, but at the same time it's on the Switch, which is insane. So anyway, you enter this new level. Bowser Jr. needs help because Bowser has been engulfed in some kind of black goop and has become Fury Bowser, which you may have seen, where he is a gigantic Giga Bowser that is
annoyed, kind
of black with fire and very menacing looking, and step on me, Big Daddy, and all that kind of stuff.
Again, that sounds like another corner of the internet, to be fair.
Yeah, well, he's bigger than the Resident Evil woman, so there you go.
Oh.
Take that, Capcom. Your move. And the kind of way the game plays out is, so you're navigating this open world, doing smaller levels, and you're trying to collect shines, which are a Super Mario Sunshine thing, but they're cat shines. And each time you collect enough cat shines, you will open up a lighthouse. That lighthouse will damage the Fury Bowser. Or if you collect enough, you can get a gigantic sized cat bell. Because in Super Mario 3D World, you've got a cat bell to turn into Cat Mario.
Of course,
but this time, if you get
a question.
Yes.
Surely, if everything else is made a cat by putting cat ears on it, why aren't you just given a pair of cat ears?
It's cat bell.
No. I know. But if you put a bell on the tree,
Dan,
it's just
a tree
with a bell
Dan,
on it.
Dan.
I swap brains with Tim this week?
Dan, it's cat bell, right? It's
cat bell.
Anyway.
Okay, but cows also
cats.
Have bells.
It's a bell for
cows,
cats. Dan, that's
if,
how it works.
If you get enough shines, you get a super bell, which means you can turn into Giga Cat Mario.
Giga
Cat
Mario, right?
What the actual crap? What?
He's Cat Mario, but instead of a cat, he's a lion, and he's a giant gold lion. And he's turned Super Saiyan 3, if you want a Dragon Ball reference thrown in as well. And then you grow to the size of Fury Bowser, and you two can fight like kaijus. And why isn't everyone playing this game right now?
Wow.
It's really, really cool. And unfortunately, it's bundled in with 3D World, so you can't just go, I've already finished 3D World, 100%ed it on the Wii U, I wish to go pick up this game.
No one did that, Coleman, it's fine. There's only three other people on the planet.
Sure,
so the
completionist
who owned a Wii U?
Did it.
Yeah.
I had a Wii U, and I played the heck out of this game, but I never finished it.
Was a great amount of anything else to play on the Wii U, apart from that really weird London zombie thing.
Zombie U,
which they then re-released as Zombie on PS3 and Xbox 360, so it didn't actually matter. And it had better graphics on the other two. Anyway, yeah, it's really good game. The only kind of downside to it is it's short. It's like 4 hours, 3 to 4 hours if you're just beelining through. If you are trying to do a completionist run, then maybe 6 to 8 hours, I reckon. But it is by no means a long game. It is an add-on to 3D World. It's a little expansion. But for what they've done with it, I absolutely love this game. And I'm going to put footage in the video. Check it out. Have a look at Gigantic Bowser and tweet Nintendo asking Bowser to come step on you.
I have a question, though, Coleman. Did they just go, well, people didn't look like Super Mario Sunshine so much, so... If we just shove cats
in,
will that do? Is that okay?
Well, no, because there were cats in 3D World. There were Super Mario cats. Oh, there are cats, actual cats in the games, rather than being
not trees.
Turned into cats. No, actual cats.
Right.
Definitely not trees.
Are you sure they're not like some kind of like small vehicle with cat ears on them or something?
I mean,
are they actually cats?
If they were trees with cat's ears on, how is that different from cats?
No, there are actual
with
cats.
No cat ears on.
In the game, but the thing is, the game has a kind of day-night cycle to it. So you're playing regular gameplay in the day, and then whenever Fury Bowser awakens, then everything turns to night. There's a storm. You can also use Fury Bowser to, like, he can breathe fire at you, and you can use it to destroy obstacles that are only exist which can only be destroyed with him, and find secrets and that kind of stuff. Anyway, there are cats, and in the daytime they are super happy, playful cats. You can run up, you can pick them up, you can throw them if you want, you can do whatever you want with these cats. At nighttime,
don't throw cats, people.
They become evil cats, and they have glowy purple eyes, and they come to attack you, but you can't attack them because they're just indestructible evil cats, like real cats.
No, real cats are awesome. Shut your mouth.
Anyway, I totally recommend this game. If you're getting it just for Bowser's Fury, can't really justify the price. If you're getting it for the two, then totally go get it. Otherwise, it's a Nintendo game. You will never see a reduction for this game that is more than £4. So, yeah, I absolutely love this. And the Bowser's Fury stuff alone is enough to make me go, yeah, this is totally in my running for Game of the Years. And it's technically not a port because there's an addition to it, so I can do that.
Right. Sounds like a technicality to me. Stop looking so bloody smug, you bellend.
Bowser's Fury is a game in itself, so there we go.
Well, there we go.
Yeah, pick it up. I love it. It's great.
So you've also been playing something else, which is a demo.
So
this is Balan Wonderworld, the demo.
This is something I've been
picked up.
Yeah, this is something I've been looking forward to. Well, I've been looking forward to this for a while, and I've never actually checked any of the game out. It's just that they went, "Hey, Kenji Inafune's making a game," and I went, "Cool, I like Kenji Inafune."
He is the mastermind behind a lot of the Sonic series of games, right?
Not just the Sonic series of games, but the script mechanics that make the original Sonic games possible, like the ability, like the spins and running off screen and all that kind of stuff, and the loops and just how fast it runs. He seems to have a pretty strange mind that goes, okay, it's either Sonic the Hedgehog or Nights into Dreams and nothing in between. And Balan Wonderworld is Nights into Dreams.
That's exactly what it made me think of when I saw it. I was like, yeah, there we go.
It's that aesthetic, but it's a kind of third-person platformer like a Mario, but there's a brawling element to it. And I'll keep it short because this is just the demo that I've been playing. And I did play, although I played a lot of it, I don't recommend it at all. It's
because you saved everyone the bother.
Yeah,
was it because there were no cats in it?
I think there are cats in it.
Are there
cats? Were they trees?
Or are they Sonic wearing cat ears?
No,
trees wearing cat ears.
The kind of main mechanic behind this is you've got a kid that you play as, or two kids you play as. It's been a couple of weeks since I played this game. It's two kids. I remember that.
Two kids.
Possibly two children.
Well, no, there's two kids in the story, but
you
play
into a lot of trouble with the court law if you can't remember if you've got one or two kids.
So if you play as the boy, then the girl's off doing something. If you're playing as the girl, then the boy's off doing something. Anyway.
How old is this boy?
27.
All right, he's definitely doing things to himself.
I don't know. He's a child. The child-sized aged. Yeah.
Right, okay.
Anyway, they have found this guy called Balan who has taken them to the Wonderworld, and then you embark on platforming and brawling, and plus you can find costumes.
I have a question.
Wait.
Has he promised to fix it for me? Kill his Balan.
Yes.
No.
No.
Not then.
Has he got a gang that he wants me to be a member of?
I've got a letter here from young Daniel, and he says, "Jim, can you fix it for me that I can dress up as a fox and attack blocks and jump high heights?" The main feature of this game is costumes. You find different costumes that give you different abilities. Some will allow you to do like ground pound moves. Some will allow you to fight better, jump higher, double jumps, climb walls, whatever. And that's kind of it. You go through a series of levels. You get to a boss. You beat the boss. Also, in between, there's bonus levels that are these weird let's follow Balon, who's this weird Knights into Dream creation with a top hat on, and copy a bunch of QuickTime events. And it's not at all impressive. This game looks like it was from the Wii.
It sounds awfully derivative as well. It just sounds, and especially bearing in mind kind of like the fanfare around this game, and I think they even titled reveal like something like Magical Reveal or something like that. It was the clearly, there we go, Balon Wonderworld, a spectacular preview, which it doesn't sound that spectacular, I'm not going to lie.
They must have renamed it because it just said demo.
No. But their kind of YouTube
reveal thing,
sizzle reel thing, right, is called spectacular preview.
Yeah, I think it was the kind of the name behind it. Plus, at the time, we didn't really get a lot of reveals of what's coming up in the future when this was announced. So I was like, yeah, all right, I'll probably
something
grab
to
this
look
one.
Forward to.
Yeah, and then thank God the demo came out because that instantly made me go, nope, don't need to spend £50 on this game.
Oh, that may have been a mistake.
Good. As interestingly pointed out on the Giant Bomb cast, KJ Inafune, he is known for Sonic and Knights into Dreams. But if you look at his list of games, there is an awful lot of crap that no one talks about because no one knows about it because no one played it because it was rubbish. And this is one of those games, unfortunately.
Hey, awesome.
So in many ways, Big Red Barrel does not condone following people wearing top hats into
children.
Wonderlands.
Sorry. We do not condone children. Especially ones dressed up as wolves.
Yeah,
and plants.
That sounds like
and
a
pigs.
Bad idea anyway.
Yeah, it's not great. There's a demo. It's free. Try it if you don't believe me and if you thought this was one for you. But please try it first because it's not a great game.
It's
a
bag of arse.
Yeah, and it's weird because I played this, it's got to be close to a month ago now, and went, yeah, this is terrible. And then 3D World came out and went, oh, I feel so much better having a decent platformer. And Astrobot's Playroom as well, like on top of that. There's some good 3D platforms out there.
Yes.
Just don't bother with this. Sorry, yeah. Mr. Inafune.
Yeah. Yep. Kind of moved on.
Thanks for the 90s.
Billy Hatcher and the Giant Egg was one of his creations.
That's what it reminded me of. The Wii game. There you go.
There we go. That was on the GameCube. But
I'm sure there was a Wii port.
Probably. There was a lot of GameCube games on the Wii. No?
Like there's a lot of Wii U games on the Switch.
Yeah, because Wii was actually technically two GameCubes.
Yeah, sellotaped together. I remember.
That's how it works. That cat is. That's all you need to know.
That's why if you lifted the flap up, there was all these GameCube ports and memory card slot and stuff.
Is a GameCube a cat? Because that had cat ears.
If you dressed your GameCube up as a cat, then who's to say?
What
you
if can be- I put Tim- cat ears on my cat?
Tim, if you wish
what
to dress up
if
as
I
a
put cat ears Catception. On my cat?
Look, if this was addressed to Tim, but as you're both doing it now, if you two want to dress up as cats and go out to specialist clubs... Wait till lockdown's done, please. But you guys can do whatever you want.
Okay, all right. Fine. Be like that.
Good.
Don't join our super cool cat club. I'll be over here doing a poo in my litter. Thank you very much.
Okay, all right.
There we go. I'm not.
That doesn't sound
enough.
Something I want to join in.
No, I still have to use loo paper, though, because I'm just not that flexible. I can't get a good purchase on. Am I oversharing again?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Excellent,
yeah.
Good, right. Is that it for games we done played?
That's the games we done played this week.
Excellent.
There was a Nintendo Direct on the Wednesday of this week.
Oh, God, there goes the next 4 hours of my life.
Well, I just wanted to say, because interestingly, we've had Nintendo Directs that we've been talking about over the last year, but they've all been minis. Business partners and all that kind of stuff. This is the first Nintendo Direct since, I believe, October 2019.
Yeah.
This is a proper
the first
big
full
boy.
One.
Yeah.
Nintendo Direct.
Have we all watched it?
Yes.
No, I haven't had time.
Okay. Well, there's a list of stuff there. You can tell me what you're excited about, and we won't go through the entire thing because we've all got places to be.
I want to know more about, surprise, surprise, Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword.
It's. Do you remember The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword on the Wii?
Yeah.
It's now on the Switch. Knobhead. I can see where this is going.
In July, it's coming to the Switch, and it will be In HD.
HD, Dan. HD, would you believe?
Jesus Christ.
they didn't really say, other than motion control support.
Yeah.
Thank Joy for that.
Other than using
Joy-Cons instead of Wiimotes, they didn't really talk about its improvements other than, hey, it's HD. Yep. The main kind of takeaway was, hey, look at the mechanics that we introduced within this game that then went into Breath of the Wild. Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's but like, I could just play Breath of the Wild again.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like Skyward Sword, so I was not excited by this. But it's if you want to play it, then it's coming out 16th of July. And on the same day, there's going to be these Skyward Sword themed Joy-Cons, one that will be themed around the Master Sword and one that will be themed around the Hyrulean Shield.
Yeah. So,
have at it. I think they look rubbish, but there are a lot of people excited about them.
Fair enough. Splatoon 3, my comment would be the number 3 has a highly suggestive end to the number 3. It looks like...
Are you literally reviewing the number 3 now, Dan?
Yes, I have reviewed the number 3. Deal with it.
That's good. They did a trailer that started off looking like it seemed to suggest we were getting a spin-off Splatoon game.
Yeah.
Maybe an open world Splatoon game.
Well, one man's spin-off is another man's sequel.
Well, and then it just went, no, we're playing Splatoon 3.
Oh, yeah, Splatoon 3.
Yeah. And it's coming out 2022. So
I don't know. Yeah. And it was a way off. It seemed like a really weird one to end on, no? And I have to say, overall, I was a bit flat. Like, there wasn't too many big things that I really cared about.
I had the same issue. I went through this thing, and I kind of opened this up to our chat group on Discord, but I'm sure there's a lot of people excited about a lot of stuff on this, but when I went through the whole thing, I was just like, yeah, okay, next. Yeah, okay, next. Stubbs the Zombie, I played that on PS2. Fine, mm-hmm. What's next?
Like, Mario Golf looked okay. I quite like
me a golf game.
Yeah, but the Super Rush stuff looked a bit weird. It looked like a multiplayer way of playing through things quickly and then you having powers while walking to get to your next shot faster.
Hmm.
And well, and I was like, why not just put golf carts in and make it half Mario Kart, half golfing, and I'd be really happy with that.
Or make
mix.
It like Fall Guys. Just have a bit of Fall Guys in there as well between getting... Because that was
Fall
also
Guys,
Switch
Fall
as
Guys
well.
Is coming, which I guess is great news for a lot of people. I've already got it on the PlayStation. I can't see me double dipping necessarily, but yeah, I think that was one of their more headline kind of...
Yeah, the kind of coming, interesting but. Thing there is Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout, it's out on the PlayStation 4 and the PC, but if you got it on PlayStation 4, you probably got it through PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
And now mm-hmm. it's pay for it on the Switch. Arguably about 6 months too late from that game's popularity.
Still think it's fairly popular. It's doing all right now. But
yeah, but it's not doing as well as, you know, it when did. It launched. I think it was impossible
to keep up at that pace.
The most downloaded PlayStation Plus title ever since PlayStation Plus. And now everyone's kind of going bored of this. So, hey-ho. But we like those people.
Try putting
two
games in one game. That seems to work.
That does seem to work.
But yeah,
that's my pro tip, industry expert right here.
One of the things I was interested in was the thing that Square Enix didn't give a name to, as they generally don't, but the Project Triangle strategy thing.
Yeah, what is that about?
Well, this is one for Dan. What was the Square Enix game that came out on the Switch and then PC? The RPG. I've completely forgotten.
Bravely Default?
Yeah.
Or Octopath Traveler, but
Octopath Traveler. That was it. Yeah.
It looks like it's from the same guys.
Okay. Yeah, it looks like it might be the same studio.
Either sequel or spiritual sequel. But this kind of looks like that. And there's a... So they're hyping... And they're doing exactly the same thing as they did with Octopath Traveler. It's got the same look to it. It's got the same style. They've announced it. It's not coming out till next year. And I know 2022 is just next year, but 2022 looks like such a future date. It's like when Mega Man starts something, it goes, the year is 20XX. It's kind of that for me. But if you wanted to give it a try, there's a demo available right now.
I might do that.
Yeah, they want feedback as well, don't they?
So it's still, it's very much kind of got that pixel art meets tilt shift.
Yeah.
Bokeh kind of arty-farty goodness. It's better than I made it sound.
Yeah, but what I was interested in is it looked like it was a possibly, yeah, turn-based strategy and an interesting like 3D RPG. Plane kind of thing. So, yeah.
It very much looks like it's... It almost reminds me of the kind of the Disgaea series of games in its
approach. I never played any.
They're awesome, those games. You should play them.
I did not play them.
What they did with...
Well, you should.
What they did with Octopath Traveler is they went, here's a game that we are announcing, but we're not giving a date for yet. Here's a demo. You can try it right now. And then a load of people went, I don't like this demo. And then they took the demo off the store, reworked it, and they went, here's a different demo. And then people went, yes, we like this game. Go make that one. So it's interesting this time they've gone, here's a game that looks like that last game. Here's a demo. Please give us feedback about it.
Yeah.
So
maybe they found it was an interesting way of actually developing it. Getting people on board. Yeah. A lot of the other things seemed like, oh, yeah, and I know you said about Fall Guys coming a bit late, but there was a few other things that it seemed like, oh, yeah, well, that's already come out on this service and I've already got it free. Like Outer Wilds was one of their announcements and I was like, well, I've already got that on Game Pass, I'm fairly sure, no? There's a few things that just felt like they were coming a bit late. One nice surprise that I had in there. Oh, yeah, there was one... They mentioned the name and I got excited and then I fell off was the Star Wars thing. Star Wars Butt Hunters, and it seemed like it might be
Star Wars Butt Hunters? What?
Star Wars Hunters.
There we go.
But then, yeah, I'm not sure about it. Like, it seemed to be saying the wrong things in the type of game I would like from that. No,
they showed that trailer off and I went, are they porting... What's that mobile Star Wars game that you used to play all the time? Mm. It looked like they were porting that to the
Galaxy
Switch.
Galaxy of Heroes. I haven't played
immediately,
it for a while.
I was like, oh, they're doing Galaxy of Heroes on the Switch. And then it went, no, this is Hunters. No, it's a canonical game.
A whole set new in between, load of microtransactions.
Yeah.
Set in between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then
like
I looked at the
else.
Game... Nah, it doesn't look...
But
we'll see you going forward.
The one thing I thought was a nice surprise was the Capcom Arcade.
Yeah.
Because that looks interesting. And I think I caught what they said was the first game that they're
first
giving
game,
away with
the
it.
The first hit is free.
First hit is free.
And then you have to pay for
that.
It.
But I kind of like that. You can have your little arcade collection where, yeah, you can play
a
number of games
like
within that and just buy
room.
The ones that you like.
Remember Game Room on the Xbox? I actually really liked that, and I think it was criminally underused. I mean, that was kind of in the mid tens, I suppose is what we call them, or kind of a late noughties to early tens, where everyone was obsessed with like kind of a Second Life got its almost revival in a number of platforms. But I like Game Room. I thought it was super good fun.
The problem we get, because if I remember this rightly, this was the one that was like an arcade. You had your own arcade and you could walk around and play like little mini games, but they also had arcade machines and you could play demos on them, but then you could buy the proper games outright and then they would be part of your arcade, your game room.
Hmm.
Okay. I think my problem with that, I liked the idea, but the execution was very kind of sluggish when you were doing the Hub World arcade thing. And I like the idea in principle. At the same time, we'll have to see how good I don't want to play the original Street Fighter 2. There are many better versions of Street Fighter 2 out there, and this is not one of them. So we'll see.
Yeah,
and plus, they just did a collection of Street Fighter 2 stuff.
That was nice. And the other thing I was interested in that we got a bit less details on, I think it's coming a bit further down the line, was Neon White. There was an ounce.
A first-person speed run fighty game that uses card-based mechanics.
Yeah.
Catchy title.
It looked intriguing. Yeah.
It looked like someone got the wrong hand in indie game bingo.
Nice.
So now you have to use all of these.
Right.
Ah, damn it.
The only thing it was missing was, is there a roguelite in there? Or a Metroid?
I think it's missing a Kickstarter. That's
one,
what happened.
One thing I found really interesting, though, and I think, was this the one that was the setup, was
you're a hitman in heaven.
Yeah, a hitman in heaven, like searching for devils in heaven or something. Anyway, but yeah. But I would never have guessed.
That's so deep, man.
I would never
that's
have
so
guessed
deep.
The previous game made by this
like
person that went, was a game that was super popular when it came out. And I would never have guessed the game going from that to this.
It's Donut Country, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I love Donut Country.
Donut County, I think
Donut
it was.
Donut County.
But yeah.
I love that game. That I mispronounced.
Yeah, but I was just like, okay, that's a real, like, going from one to the other. So I'm just really interested to see exactly what this game is. And yeah, just going from one to the other game, I find interesting. So I'll be interested to see how this works out.
I cool. got excited by two announcements on this. One was on Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. There is a new character from Xenoblade Chronicles 2 called Pyra and Mythra. Where they kind of join together. The only thing I really liked about it's a new character. I'll pick up the new character. I love Smash Bros. I like having variety and all the big roster and stuff. The thing I liked about the announcement was they did the thing where they go, oh, we're pretending this is a trailer for the game that this character comes from. And I don't know if Xenoblade Chronicles 2 came out on the Switch, but I was like, oh, it's Xenoblade Chronicles 2. I can't be bothered with this. And they stuck the landing because they go through all the, it's like all the bad voice acting and all the shonky cut scenes and stuff, and then she goes, I've been invited to Smash. Oh, yes. I am in for this now.
Nice.
It was so well done. So really happy with that.
See, well, I was like bored and then got more bored as that went on. Oh god, I thought Smash. That was
such a good turnaround.
Well, yeah, about Smash.
I just want more Smash characters. Give me a season four of Smash content. I love Smash.
Do you think that's why we didn't get a full Nintendo Director now? They couldn't actually do one without a Smash announcement to go with it.
Well, interestingly, when they went, there's a Nintendo Direct on this date, they followed that with a tweet going, there will be Smash news kind of thing. So,
about.
Yeah, so they had to open with that. But it just seemed like there was a lot of filler in this. There was a final release date for No More Heroes 3, which got me excited, which means I really need to pick up No More Heroes 2 on the Switch and finally complete that game before this one. But it's coming out in August, so
fair enough.
I'm happy about that. And but it yeah, looks really interesting. A lot of other good things style.
Of non-interest, basically, was...
I mean, there was the already spoiled to death Apex Legends coming out on the Switch, which I think was actually spoiled by a controller company who were making the tie-in peripheral, releasing details about that about 3 weeks early. So, fail.
Well, even the Skyward Sword, HD announcement, I saw that on a blog like 2 days before the announcement. So, there wasn't really anything of note for me to go, oh, that's amazing. I can't wait to pick that up. It was just like, here's an update. Here's a DLC character. Cool. Here's a game you already knew about. It's release date. Excellent. Brilliant. That's all I needed.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's just the fact that I got kind of hyped by the tennis game and then played like Mario Tennis and I didn't like what they added to that, so I didn't bother picking it up. And I think it's going to be a similar thing with this Mario Golf by the looks of things. So I'm even less excited than just if they just told me normal Mario Golf was coming. And yeah, for me, there wasn't really much else in the lineup that I'm like, yeah, that's something to get excited about. And nothing this year.
Let me pitch you this, Tim. You're trying to play a serious round of Mario Golf while me and Dan are trying to find invincibility stars and run around the course.
Mm-hmm.
It did seem like you could, it's an option, but it seemed like a lot of the name suggests that a lot of the content is around running around the course. And I'm like,
it's speed run golf. I like that idea, but I got hardcore into golf games for about 2 years and then just fell off them completely. So, I don't know. Maybe.
Rather play more Golf Story. Still haven't finished that.
Yeah,
that was great.
That's a good game. Right, I chaps.
Started it.
I think that's about it, isn't it? For stuff we're actually super duper interested in. I'm sure there's other things you're going to have a go at us about stuff we missed out, but hey, them's the break.
Some people on the Discord have already told us what they're interested in, so let us know your opinions in there.
Indeed.
Anything you're really looking forward to.
Indeed. Now, one thing I would just like to do before we move on to the other bit of the agenda is I found the words that the Chugnut wanted me to say. In particular, he wanted me to say, postulate. That's postulate. And then for some reason, he's going to give me all of his Dogecoin to say, I need to inspect your postulate.
Ooh.
There you go.
Ooh.
Send all your Dogecoin to me, Dan at bigredbarrel.com.
He didn't want you to like sneak that into the show sneakily, like,
No, I thought it was worthy of its own little section, to be honest with you.
Okay.
He also said that he felt like he hasn't been told to wash his hands in a while.
Wash your fucking hands.
Cool.
To be fair, you haven't said it in a while.
Well, I was hoping people
still true,
would have got
no, Dan?
I hope 11 months into a pandemic, people would have actually perhaps picked up on this. But today...
I have a question, Dan.
Yes, what?
I have a question.
Yeah.
If you've had your vaccine,
uh-huh,
still need to wash your hands.
Yes, you do. Even if you've had the vaccine, you need to still wash your hands. You need to still wear a mask. You need to still not be a dick. All of those things. You need,
even if you've had both injections.
Even if you've had both injections, because you can still
wash
have
your
it
hands.
On your skin or up your nose. It's just not going to make you unwell, but you can still make other people unwell with it. So wash your hands. Clear enough?
It's the thing, thing that's confused me, because I'm like, didn't we always wash our hands? And then I remember
this is the thing. Yes,
I remember going to any men's toilet in a pub and going, oh yeah, we are some dirty buggers.
I swear... Someone asked the question, I don't know if it was in a roundtable. It was someone on BBC News. Someone said a question about, should we wash our hands after taking the rubbish out? I'm like, yes!
Yes!
Yes, you should do that anyway! Why are you asking that question?
I'm the kind of guy who puts his sleeve over his hand to open a door handle in public. So
talk
to me about washing my hands.
I've become very adept at opening door handles with my elbow.
Oh, well done.
I can do that.
elbows and knees have got good at door
If it's a turny knob, he's buggered. We got one that I forgot to put on there. So Ed on the Discord, he says, I have a question for the podcast. Mm-hmm. What is something games do that you can never get used to, even if it makes total sense? For me, it's whenever enemies in games heal themselves. My brain always, without fail, goes for, oh, come on, that is effing bull snipe. I'm trying to censor myself.
Don't play Demon Souls then, because...
Forgetting that I've come into the same battle with nothing but healing items. No matter what, without fail, I will claim it's unfair that enemies' bosses heal, even though I'm plushing myself with potions as I say it. So what is a mechanic that happens in games that you are not used to, even though it makes total sense?
Getting knocked off a ledge. If I do it to an enemy, fair game. Like, I got the better of you. If an enemy does it to me, it was cheap, it was a low shot, it was, you know, that was not fair.
I've got one.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Over-reliance on stomp attacks being a thing that bosses or big bad enemies do, even when said boss has no legs with which to stomp. That bothers
How so?
How are they stomping if they have no legs, Dan?
Exactly,
surely,
Tim.
A stomp
exactly.
requires a leg.
Exactly. Well, it's not clear. It's like the whole put cat ears on it argument. Well, you know, it's all very unclear.
How are you being stomped without legs?
It's like an area of effect.
But surely being stomped requires a leg part to be stomped. Otherwise, you're just being sat on or generally squashed.
Or stepped on.
Yeah.
Or stepped on.
Exactly. Bothers me. That's what I'm going to say. Good. Gets right on my Nelly.
I haven't got one. So if you want to get in contact with the show, you can do via the comments section on bigredbarrel.com and come look at this show post. And while you're on bigredbarrel.com, we have a link to our Discord.
Yeah, we do.
And also you can... find us on Facebook at Big Red Barrel and on Twitter at the same. And also on YouTube, Big Red Barrel TV. We've got a comment section under each video. You can chat in there. I see all. I will find them and put them in the agenda for the next show.
Cover your camera while you're on the loo if you're watching.
Questions,
the
game
version.
Suggestions, theme back, all that kind of stuff. But while I'm on the subject, check out the YouTube version. It seems to have been going down well lately. Our views are going up for it. The time watched is going up. It's been nice.
Numbers getting bigger. It's got to be good.
Yeah.
Bigger numbers are better.
Bigger numbers good. That's what my entire job these days is based around. Big numbers good. Unless they're COVID
video games have
talked
about. Yeah, infection rates and
stuff.
That's right.
Down. Wash your hands. Wash them. Wash your hands.
Games of Service have taught me that bigger numbers mean better.
Yes.
In this case, yes.
So, is that it, Tim? Is there anything else you would like to tell us?
Well, we were going to have a little announcement, but there has been a minor delay to that. I think we will have to announce that next week. But all a right. tease of something coming, and we can tease that it is also Geek Out for Gosh related or Gosh related. For those that don't know, we've been doing a bit of a campaign at Geek Out for Gosh that you can get behind. You can stream and raise money for charity. We will have another announcement on this next week with some exciting news that's coming on that. So we'll tease that ahead of that. But yeah, just check out at Geek Out for Gosh on Twitter, Facebook, and a few other things. But you can also just go to the fundraising page, which we'll put a link for in the show, and generally check it out on Great Ormond Street's general website. Search for Geek Out for Gosh on that, and you can generally find that. But yeah, it's basically a way of fundraising while gaming. Everyone can get involved. You can back someone that's actually just doing their own fundraising there, or you can fundraise yourself as well. So that's still an ongoing thing. As I said, there'll be a bit more news on that this week. Next week that we'll be able to announce. And yeah, it's some good news. So yeah,
so
it's a good thing.
Get your timbers and shiver them over at Gosh. All right, that's all I'm going to say.
Donate some money.
Yeah. That.
Or gold rings.
So anyway, I've noticed how long we have been prattling on for, and it's probably time. We
get
should
you
go.
With your eye on the clock.
Say what?
I said, get you with your eye on the clock.
I know, right? I know. I'm also hungry.
Oh.
That's why. So.
That's fair enough.
Thank you so much for listening. Coleman has said all of the internet things. You should go and do those things. Or else. Something really non-important will happen. Yes, that. And we're going to be back next week for episode 430 of this here show.
Yeah. I'll actually have a game to talk about next week as well, rather than just Demon's Souls. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Do I need to book the whole evening off?
No. It might be one you're vaguely interested in. Coleman more so, but we'll come back to that next week.
I know what it is.
Yep. Alrighty. We're going to go now. All that remains is for us to remind you that I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
I have been Coleman, and here's a random Tim clip.
Good work.
Lovely.
Good work, Coleman.
Well done. Well done.
Hello.
Well done, positive Tim. we're going to go now. Your homework, dear listeners, is to put cat ears on things and see if they turn into cats. Let us know what worked out.
Please send us pictures of cat ears on trees. I want to see if this is true.
And we
want to
adjudicate, me and Tim, with our
expert whether they are
eyes.
Cats or trees.
You know, Tim may not have many skills, but that is one of them.
Yeah.
Is it a tree? Is it a cat? Tim can tell you.
I'm sure I've been asked that on one of those prove you're not a robot tests.
Yeah, I know, right? Are you a
How
cat?
How many of these trees
no.
are wearing cat ears?
So that's going to be the new capture for if we ever upgrade the website. It's going to be pick out the trees in this picture.
That's how we stop Judgment Day.
Right.
That's how we stop Skynet.
Yep.
Name four cats.
On that note, we're going to go now. So thank you ever so much for listening. And until next time, dear listeners, toodle bye.
Quite welcome
for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.